Welcome to episode 72 of the Warp World Podcast. In this episode, we talk about the new Nintendo creator changes, GDQ drama, that newest salty moment of the week, and our greatest hot take yet? Probably not. All this and more on this episode of the Warp World Podcast.
Welcome, everybody, to the Warp World Podcast, episode... Is it 72?
79.
It's high enough now that you can't remember the episode count. I think that's an achievement.
76.
It is. Like, we're deep into our second full year as a podcast on. I think now, at this point, X-Water, you've even been on for a full year.
Yeah. At this point, it's been at least 56 weeks.
Yes, because, well, it was episode 15. So yeah, last week was your year anniversary.
Oh, snap.
Yeah.
Look at that.
Yeah, we
way to remember
that.
It.
Yeah, way to go. Way to go.
We celebrated with the X-Water drama episode a couple weeks early.
That's true. You missed a few episodes too. So, you know, next week actually might be your real anniversary.
Fair, yeah, because I was gone. I was gone for four in a row.
Yeah.
Yeah, of course. I introduced X-Water, of course, a year old now, a full year. And Jakku.
Hey, that's me.
Needs no introduction at this point.
It's true.
That's why it is. That's why we just skipped the introduction and went right into the bullshit, you know?
I mean, it's what the people want, right?
Yeah.
It's what the people want.
It's a good part of the show. The first, like, 5 to 10 minutes of just bullshitting. I like it.
Yeah, well, speaking of bullshitting, what have you guys been up to this week? Jakku, tell me about your car. I think that's the thing I want to know. Because I heard you were in my chat earlier and you were like, this was the exact quote.
Oh my God.
I can't drive anywhere. My car's in the shop. They gave me a loaner. It's a BMW. And that was that was the quote. And I was a little bit puzzled on that as someone who's never driven a car, you know, that was made in the same decade we've lived in. I was a little puzzled. So tell me about the woes of having your Beamer. I'm sorry.
Yeah. No, my car's just in the shop to get winter tires. And it's going to take 2 days because there's a lot of people, I guess, trying to get winter tires. They ran out of...
Is it snowing there?
There's some snow. Yeah. But I like to have the winter tires for any road trips I do and stuff. Be prepared. You know, I don't want to... The lives of people that are in my car are in my hands. And I'm going to make sure they're in the best ride possible.
You're a good man. That's
yeah. So you never know. So it's backlog. So it's like, oh, it's going to be like 2 days. I'm like, oh, well, that sucks. And they ran out of Tesla loaners. So they're like, we'll get you a car from Enterprise. And all of a sudden, this BMW, I think X3, I don't even know, man, pulls up. I'm like, oh, okay. Yeah, it's right here. It's a 2019 BMW X3.
It's not even that year yet.
I know. Listen.
You have a car from the future.
I have a car from the future. It's not that I can't drive it. It's that it doesn't have autopilot, as far as I know.
Are you sure?
It can't drive it.
The BMW X3 does not have autopilot?
I don't know. All I know is that it also takes gas, and I'm definitely not going to drive a lot, so I don't want to go to a gas station. You know? So I parked it outside. It's not even in the garage, because I don't even know.
Oh, this is like an SUV. This is like a mini SUV,
yeah,
right? Okay, I'm looking at it right now. I'm Googling it right now to see what it's got.
Yeah. Well, that's what I'm going through right now. I know. Woe is me. No, but it was funny because I told my community in Discord too. I'm like, guys, I know I'm going to sound like I'm complaining right now. And it's definitely a complaint. But it's once you have a Tesla, it's hard to drive any other car. And I forget to drive. Yeah. And I have to hit the brake. Oh, shit. Hold on. And the car, you know, it moves forward a little bit when you take your foot off the brake. My car doesn't do that. It's just all different. And it's weird. And then best part is I get out of the car, you know, as one does, and I start walking away. I'm like, wait a second. Car is still running. I have to go and press the stop button on it. It's not turning in the key or anything. It's just you got to say stop. So
where do you, when you take your Tesla in to get even just tires, you take it to the Tesla dealership, I assume?
Yeah, there's a Tesla service centers.
Okay. Yep. You have to take it in. It doesn't just drive itself there, right?
Yeah, it doesn't drive itself there yet. It could, newer models. They also do have like an in-home service for people that don't have a service center near them or live in a better environment, I would say, because like when there's snow and stuff, they're not going to do shit. But they do, they can come to you as well in terms of support and service. Okay. They're called the Tesla Rangers.
And so you didn't have to pay anything for this?
No. Yeah. This is all.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Like, and even this car, like the loaner car is 100% free. And none of this is, I'm not getting charged for anything.
Wow. So it's like, even the tires.
Yeah. Well, I already had the tires.
Oh, just the swap. Gotcha.
Yeah. I have, again,
like
it's
when you buy a
really
Tesla, it doesn't come with like winter tires too, is what you're saying.
Right. Yeah. It doesn't come with the tires. I have three sets of tires, and that's really ridiculous.
What's the third set?
Yeah,
for?
What
one
is
for
the
winter,
third?
One for not winter, and
off-roading your Tesla? Is that what it is?
No.
Like when you put the lift on it? Is that are those like, your slick track race tires for when you're Fast and Furious?
It's like
thing?
Mario Kart 8.
Yeah,
everyone needs really good drifting on Driftway.
I have 21-inch tires that are on during the spring and summer typically.
Ballin'.
Yeah, those were a referral bonus because I referred enough people to buy Teslas. I got those. And the winter tires, I also got through referrals.
Okay.
How many people? Give me a ball. Like, warm or cold, six
people.
Dude,
Jaku
is
rich.
What
I just realized is we're the brokest of Jaku's rich friends because he's never approached me about buying a Tesla. So.
Yeah, what the hell, Jaku?
Who wants a model? You guys want a Model 3?
I already know you're
trying
to sell
that Jaku.
Model
3. No. Yeah, it's so stupid that I have three sets of tires because, like, even to me, that's outrageous. And they're like $2,000-something tires. Because it's not just the tires, it's the rims too.
Yeah,
really
I mean,
cool.
21s are, you know, 20s are expensive. 21s, you got to keep those
that's
clean.
That's
like
three away from being rap song worthy.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. But like, I'm not going to drive with those in the winter at all. That's not a good idea.
Can't. Got to put the dubs away for the winter. Yeah. You don't want to get salt on the dubs.
Yeah.
So, but wait, so you have, silly. So you have your winter tires, your dubs, and then your...
All season.
Another set of dubs?
Just all season 19-inch. Yeah, those came with the car.
They ain't 20, gotcha. They ain't 20s, but I keep them clean, though. I keep them clean.
right. I had to go to the storage unit to get them out, and I pulled out the 19-inches, the all-season tires first. I'm like, oh, shit. Got to go get another set of tires now.
Oh, my gosh.
It's the stupidest first-world problems. I know.
That is a... A half world problem right there.
Yeah.
my extra set of 21-inch rims for my electric self-driving vehicle is...
And all they could give me was a 2019 Beamer.
This is going to be a lot of people's first podcast, and they're going to hear me complaining. They're like, who's this asshole?
I was going to say, if people did not know you from anything other than this 5-minute excerpt to begin this episode 72 of the Warp World podcast, they would think you're a fucking twat. Like,
they really would. I feel so bad just saying it all, too.
Luckily for you guys, we're going to talk about bigger twats later. But I think we got to start this week's episode off with some breaking news here on the Wednesday that we're recording this.
Yeah.
Literally just happened, though. I mean, like, I don't know, probably 2 seconds before we went to record, Nintendo announced they are officially ending their Nintendo Content Creator Program and easing restrictions of Nintendo Let's Plays on YouTube, with the basics being if you add commentary or other video, you know, basically you do something on the video, that is completely okay. As long as it's not raw game footage, you are free to use it on YouTube, reversing many, many, many years of frustrating / ancient practices from their, what do I want to say, their relationship with content creators.
We did it.
Thoughts? Yeah. Thoughts? Yeah. I mean, yeah, seriously, we did. Can we get a pop champagne noise in the background? A round of applause? Like, start playing Celebration? Like, seriously.
We Are the Champions just starts rolling. No, it's big. It's big news. I'm really excited to see Nintendo taking another step into like 2008.
Yeah.
You know, they're still pretty far behind, but like way to go. You know, this is a really good step forward, especially because, like, you know, all of us put out Nintendo YouTube videos all the time. And I'm sure, you know, we all have our tips and tricks for how to try to dodge the big bad Nintendo demonetization that we're not going to have to worry about as much anymore. It's going to be so lax and carefree and just like, it's going to really like up people's creative freedom with their Nintendo content on YouTube because they don't have to worry about circumnavigating these algorithms that detect whether or not there's copyright stuff in there.
Yeah, mm-hmm. No, it's huge. That was everyone's complaint with Mario Maker videos and just Nintendo in general. Like, you got to get on an MCN so they handle all those disputes for you. And now, and like, obviously there was also the Nintendo Creator Program, but that also sucked because they took a huge cut of your revenue.
Yeah,
30%. 30% of your revenue. Yeah, 30% of your revenue.
Big oof, yeah. Dude.
Yeah. And, the justification was that was, it's either 30 or 100, baby, suck it.
Yeah, yeah. So that's crazy. So it's really good to see them updating this and like just releasing it now, which is really interesting. Just in time for Smash, I bet.
Yeah, that's
so
the big
curious
thing, I think.
How that works. Yeah, it's so strange how that works. I mean, one thing we've noticed is a lot of, especially the bigger YouTubers that used to make Nintendo videos, they stopped, you know, like, I mean, this is a bad example, but PewDiePie doesn't make YouTube videos. He said right after that whole thing went down with the Nintendo Creator Program, he never would, and he hasn't made any since then. This can bring back those guys, you know, and again, start putting eyes on Nintendo. I have to feel like they, you know, maybe they saw this year that you cannot have the biggest game of all time anymore without having massive support on YouTube and Twitch, without having creators push these games forward anymore. And for better or worse, that just seems like where we're at. It's no secret that the rise of Ninja and the rise of Fortnite and the rise of all those other guys all happened at one time, you know, like that those are symbiotic relationships. And I think hopefully Nintendo recognized it, or they just were tired of people complaining about it, or they just wanted to fire their YouTube division that had to go look at all these videos. I don't really give a shit why they did it, but this is so huge for Nintendo, and it's so big to get Nintendo games to become viral again. You know what mm-hmm. I mean? Like, honestly, there's, like, if you look at people making Mario Maker videos, there's not many people still making Mario Maker videos that have like 100K plus subs, you know? And that's honestly, like, at this point, 100K subs really isn't even that much on YouTube anymore. You know, when you're talking about some of these creators that have millions and millions and millions of subs, it's such a great, awesome thing. It also is like a relief because we always worried, will Nintendo ever come after Twitch? That's a relief. Like, we know now that's probably not ever going to happen. It's, whew. As a Nintendo creator, it's just like, it feels like a weight was lifted off our shoulders today as a Nintendo creator. And just as a content creator in general, it's a step towards the right direction for what do I want to say? Job security, for keeping us in line, for whatever you want to say, is just a step in the right direction for where everyone needs to go and everyone needs to be. So hats off, Nintendo. Welcome to the year 2008.
Yeah. Next up, let's get some dedicated servers for our Smash Bros.
Hey, one step at a time, all right? Listen, yeah, Smash.
One. That's the next one. I want to leap right into 2009.
All right, 2009, yeah. Man, Smash. When did Brawl come out on Smash? X-Y?
I think like either 2009 or 11 or something like that.
2009. No, Brawl was on the Wii. 2009. So for first online, right? So. Yeah, all right.
Yeah, Brawl's Online was awesome.
No, it wasn't. It had to be. No, I was still in college. That was my fourth year of college. So I think that was 2007 or 08. Yeah, 07 or 08.
Yeah. It was end of 08. Yeah. So close enough.
Yeah. Start
Wii of 08 for at least the Japanese release.
Oh, yeah. It was early.
Online was not good.
No, it wasn't. It was horrendous. You couldn't play, like, it was in there so they could put the little blue circle on the box that said Nintendo Wi-Fi connection or whatever.
Yeah.
And that's it. That's all. And it's weird because, like, the Wi-Fi was like the biggest thing that was going for Smash Bros. Brawl when they announced it. Like, we covered it in Historians, and Smash Bros. Actually, like, if Sakurai didn't agree to do Smash Bros. Brawl, they were just going to port Melee to the Wii and make it Wi-Fi.
Oh my God. Why would that would have been way better.
and then I don't know anything.
The only thing I know about Smash Brothers, like, is that Melee's great and Brawl sucks. That's the only thing I know about it.
The story mode was really fun.
I think it was really cool.
That's the
Subspace Emissary.
Yeah, Subspace Emissary was a lot of fun. It's the best one of all the games.
Definitely. I hope Five's got a really cool like single player vibe. It looks interesting.
It's not as good as Subspace.
Well, you sound like you have some first-hand knowledge
of that somehow. Maybe you have first-hand knowledge you want to share.
I do have some first-hand knowledge.
Wait. Before we get to this, I do actually want to talk about Jakku's criminal activity here in just a second. But can we all give the number one reason that we think Nintendo did finally let up on this?
Oh yeah. I think it's because Smash. I think you were right. I think they see that Twitch and YouTube is a good way to drive sales. It's not something that impedes them. And they want Smash to be successful. And they think having streamers put out videos is only going to make the game even more popular.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think that plus fighting against creators has to be a lot of resources and energy. And the payout is literally like worse for them. So they're essentially putting money into hurting themselves more. And then someone finally got it through. Was like, hey, how about we save money on disputing these creators and let them have their pennies, their ad pennies. And, you know, we can just get that sweet free advertisement.
It makes sense. Yeah, I mean, the creators that stuck with Nintendo, all we were doing was just making clips 30 seconds or shorter. That's how we were getting around it, because they weren't copywriting gameplay. They were copywriting music. And that's how you kind of got like boned on everything. So you had to make your clips basically 28 seconds around there. And then if you wanted to show 40 seconds of gameplay, you just like moved it forward a second, like skip time really quick, like a quick drop frame. And that's how you got around it. And so it's a pain in the ass. It was horrible. But oh man, thank God. All right, now let's get to your criminal activity, Jakku. And this was not even on the list. We weren't even going to talk about this, but you brought it up. So
I did bring it up.
We kind of have to talk about it. For those who don't know, Super Smash Brothers actually was leaked 2 weeks early. There's motherfuckers playing it right now. These bitch asses are practicing. They're getting ready for their day one launch day tournaments. They're getting their new mains. They know all Ridley's moves. They're Petey Piranha'd out. They got everything. And we have an exclusive interview with one of these people right
one
here.
One of these cheaters.
One of these cheaters.
A dirty practicer.
Tell us about it, though. Give us some impressions, I guess, you know, of Smash.
Yeah.
Bootleg review, if you will.
I've been doing the single player campaign. I'm not going to do any spoilers. It is really fun. It's not as fun as Subspace. There's very...
Dang.
Yeah, like... It is sad, but it is still fun. It's huge. The map is huge. And the amount of detail they go into in certain areas is amazing. There's a lot of throwback to other games. And one of the aspects of the idea is, I'm going to tell you kind of how it works a little bit. On the map, there's lots of little spirit orbs things. And you go and you go fight. And
whoa. Before we do this, spoiler alert. If you don't want to hear this, fast forward like 3 minutes. Like if you want no information.
Yeah, if you want no information, it's not going to do any story. I'm not going to do any spoilers on story or anything, just kind of the mechanic, which I think is really interesting and something I'd love to get your guys' input on. So there's spirits on the board. You go up to them and it will show Solid Snake as the fighter, but the spirit will be Snake Man from Mega Man. And so he kind of fights like Snake Man would. He doesn't shoot like Snake Man. He doesn't shoot snakes out, but he throws a lot of projectiles and stuff like Snake Man would.
Yeah.
And so he's got like the aura of Snake Man.
Mm-hmm. And they like in the direct that they put out that just came out the last one, they showed off a lot of like those spirit orb challenges that essentially for characters that they couldn't put in the game, they do their best to like mimic them with what they have in there. And that looks so cool.
Yeah.
Wow.
I was just playing one.
That's actually really cool.
This one was really cool. They took one of the Splatoon characters, the one in Smash, and they gave him a spirit of a blooper, and they gave you low gravity mode, and it lets you know that the character avoids conflict. So it felt like you were fighting bloopers.
That's awesome.
So
it's so cool.
Yeah. So it's like, so I've probably done like
a spoiler. But still, no, that's so fucking cool. I really, that's like a really awesome, dope idea. Yeah. That's fucking awesome.
It's a really cool way to add all those characters in without having models for all of them and doing all of the work. So it's really cool what you can do with the game now. The UI is a little weird in the game. Like changing your character in that mode is especially odd. And I don't know if they're going to fix it in a patch or if it's just like me being odd. That's fine, whatever, you know, Smash. You choose stages first and then you choose your characters.
Oh.
And then, and then there's decimals on your Smash life bar thing.
Yeah.
So instead of like, you know, the it always being a whole number, 80 damage is 80.2, 80.3. Mm-hmm. And I've won with 0.02 before. Or 0.2. I don't think it goes that deep. Or maybe it does. I don't remember. And then the other big thing is that there's a Smash bar. So in addition to the Smash ball, if you do enough damage and get damaged enough, that bar loads up and you can do your Smash attack. And I thought that was really cool.
Yeah, I like that change too.
But yeah, it's fun. It's Smash. It's Smash like on a Smash 4 with more characters and a story mode. I haven't beaten it yet. I'm close. I'm probably like an hour away.
Wow.
It's huge. But it's fun. It's definitely a 10 out of 10. I have bought it, but I would say I would buy it too.
I haven't bought it yet. I'm waiting to find out if any retailers are doing midnight release in town. If not, I'm preloading and playing at midnight when it comes out.
I've already preloaded. I can't. I am supremely excited to have you guys kick my ass all fucking.
Yeah, you were talking about that on stream.
Yeah, man. I'm only playing because I only want to play with streamer friends. And I know this for a fact. I'm the worst streamer Smash player there is. Like, I will probably be the worst player with over 10 viewers in the Smash directory. I'm not even joking. So I'm really excited to get my ass kicked by you guys all fucking weekend. So
yeah, but you're probably the only streamer here that's going to get invited to the E3 Smash tournament.
No, man. I'm trying to play in the Fortnite Pro-Am this year. That's what I'm trying to do.
Yeah, there you go.
I'm trying to continue my first-person shooter esport career, milking my speed run into getting into other esports, which is really funny. I haven't won $1 speed running. But it's gotten me into a lot of different tournaments where I've won, over $10,000 now, which is really fucking weird to me. So
I just thought of an idea for spoilers on podcasts.
Okay.
We could have our editor speed that section up 2x speed. And then if anyone wants to listen to the spoilers, they just make the app go at half speed.
It seems like they could just fast forward as well.
But it's like a nice little spoiler tag in a podcast.
Yeah, I mean, why don't we just like put it in reverse and then they could just listen to it in reverse if they went,
Well, they can do it in reverse, but
to make it a real challenge.
The podcast apps have those features is what I'm saying. Like they do the half speed or twice speed. And so that's just one way to do it.
I don't know about you, man. I wouldn't pick up my phone and change the speed while I was driving, though.
Oh, that's true. I guess you're just going to have to listen to me talk about it real fast.
Okay, so Smash Bros. Is really cool. I really like the new single player.
Wow, that's pretty good. You're going to love it.
So we've covered Jakku's absolute detestable activity.
Yeah.
Probably the worst
activity of the week, right?
Yeah, you would think it's the worst thing someone could have done this week. The absolute most trash-tier human being thing you could have done. Poor Nintendo. Poor Nintendo, but I think we might have something a little higher up on this list.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, I'm going to let one of you guys intro it, though, because I feel like I don't really know how.
All right. So yesterday, Tuesday, this would be November 27th, Games Done Quick. I mean, this is a lot to unpack here, and I feel like this is a kind of a sensitive issue, so I need to give this a bit more attention than we normally give shit. But Games Done Quick started tweeting that they were investigating a report about basically hate speech that was reported to them through a Twitter thread from another speedrunner where in which two speedrunners, White Goose and Grav, who I guess we should preface it. I feel like we need to give them all their own little history. Like, all right, so our White Goose is known. He's got a 50-50 reputation. He's known for making actually really great, informative GoldenEye 007 videos and being one of the better players in GoldenEye 007. He's also kind of what I would call, and this is my podcast and not a news show, so I can say this, a fucking shitlord. He's never hidden that. He's been combative with, you know, things like GDQ. He's made overtly, in my opinion, inflammatory, racist, homophobic statements out in public and in videos. It's heard that. Anyway, moving on. then there's Gravation, who is scheduled to run Doom this year, Doom 64 at the awesome game at AGDQ this year, who was banned for a few years ago for wearing the Make America Great Again hat and then sitting in the lobby all week doing the same thing and sulking about it. Anyway, these two people engage in a conversation on Discord, a private Discord server, at which they said, anti-Semitic things, transphobic things, things that do not align with AGDQ's, what do I want to say, mission statement, stance, charities.
Yeah.
Anything yeah. AGDQ does, you know what I mean? AGDQ is about inclusion and whatnot. So Games Done Quick, when they first were made aware of this, they issued a statement that they were investigating. A few hours later, they issued another statement saying, well, we can't verify that screenshots of Discord messages are true, which does make sense. I understand that logic for sure. And that they had closed their investigation. This was not acceptable to a lot of people. People started voicing their issues with that. Which I understand as well why they would voice their issues. This is a 2-hour investigation, a quote unquote investigation. which I really wanted. This is the hardest part because I don't want to make light of this, but all I'm thinking is just four people in a room around a table. How are they investigating? I think this is very interesting. You know what I mean? I'm very curious about how the investigation went. They have magnifying glasses out looking at Discord servers.
One of those cork boards with strings attached. Different pictures. Yeah.
Exactly. Then in the replies where they were upset, other people started, or GDQ staff was actually replying to people in there. Hey, if you have any more information or you can verify this in any way, please let us know. We're still open to investigating, which was a kind of a contradictory statement. Yeah.
Yeah, it was really weird. They put out a lot of trying to sound like they're handling their shit tweets, but it was all just very much giving a vibe of oh man, we're a little panicked right now tweets.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly. And it did. It started to feel panic, and then it finally ended. I think there was two more tweets. And then it finally ended with the White Goose and Gravation being banned. I also want to say here, because I do, in the interest of non-bias, first of all, I think they're both shitlords. But Goose did put out a statement saying he's doesn't feel this way anymore. He's changed this ideology. He understands why this is combative. He understands why people are upset about it. He thinks they should be upset about it, and he's taking full responsibility for it. And props to him for even putting out that statement, whether it's true or whether that's just a statement he's put out, that remains to be seen. Those are his actions. Gravation has not done that, needless to say. Mm-hmm. He bragged about the extra Twitter followers he got from it. So I think there's a lot to unpack here. I think first of all, do either one of you guys have a problem with someone being banned from an event like this? Or That's one argument. Does anyone have a problem for someone being banned from a speedrunning event for what they do or say in their private lives?
If I were going to have anyone on my stream, I would not let someone on my stream who I thought was an asshole, who I thought could say something that would hurt my stream, my community, or anything like that. So 100% GDQ can do whatever they want. It's their charity stream. They have an image to uphold, and they have if a guy who goes around spouting anti-Semitic shit is trying to speedrun in the event, and then that's brought to the attention, maybe GDQ makes the decision, we don't want that representing our brand. Every right. They have every right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. same exact thing. Like, you know, it's their decision on who goes on their stream and who goes to the event. It's, they're not the government. They're private. They can choose whatever they want. That's fine.
Yeah.
You know, they don't have to give this guy a stage.
Yeah,
exactly.
And this isn't native to speedrunning either. This applies like everywhere. The NBA has suspended people for saying horrible things. Hell, the WWE has suspended people for saying horrible things, for tweeting horrible things, for being caught in conversations while saying horrible things. Like, I'm sorry, if the fucking WWE can do it, like, everybody can do it. This is not a new thing. So I completely agree with the ban. I thought it was, I read the messages. I thought they were horrendous and horrible. I had no issue with them handling that. And as far as we know, as it stands right now, it's a lifetime ban. I do appreciate GDQ's part of that. I think that's the really easy part of this story. I think the hard part of this story, and what we kind of almost have to talk about a little bit more, is the GDQ crisis management here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How did you guys, were you guys on Twitter while this was kind of playing out at all?
Like, yeah. The whole reason I saw any of this was just because I saw a lot of like angry, upset, you know, reactions to GDQ's crisis control.
It was very, I don't know. It felt like they wanted to make sure people knew they were investigating, but like no one was talking to each other internally while they were investigating. And they didn't really come up with it. They're like, we got to just get something out there. We just got to get something out there. And they acted too quickly. Things like that, you have to kind of talk amongst yourselves. In many cases, no mention of anything right away is better than what they put out. Mm-hmm. You know, take a minute to gather your thoughts, get the full story, do your investigation, and then tell us the results afterwards. We don't need to have step-by-step coverage. You're not a news organization covering some big event happening in the world. It's GDQ. It's a big deal to a lot of people, but it's by no means does it need like step-by-step updates.
Yeah, it just brings in, I think, more negative attention for GDQ than it really needs.
Yeah.
And it's like people are going to tweet about it whether they're providing the update or not. But if they provide updates, they're fueling this reaction more. And yeah, you know, I think you're right. Just by taking the information they have and 100% like confirming it before saying anything, just wait a day. Wait a day before you put anything out, and that would have solved it.
Yeah. If it was the day of the event, then, you know, people would probably be wanting more updates to know what they're doing. But otherwise, like, the event's 2 months out. Well, a month out, I guess, at this point. It's a month out. It's fine. Nobody's going to boycott you over taking 12 hours, 24 hours to come up with a valid response if you're handling it correctly. It does look really poor if you spout out all those tweets without any real information, especially if you contradict yourselves like you did. It was
the whole thing was very interesting because it was playing out in this very public way between Games Done Quick is just so big now. And in a lot of ways, and you can really tell that when you go there. I don't think this is something you really get on stream because on stream you just see the stage and the crowd. But when you go there, you really realize it's still a very grassroots event.
And yeah, Bernie Sanders is there.
Not that grassroots, baby. It is. It's still a very grassroots event. I think they need to take that next step in professionalism in a few ways. And granted, you know, I'm fucking guilty of that all the time, but I'm not Games Done Quick. You know, I don't have 200,000 people on my, I don't know. They're at a different level.
Yeah.
It is interesting. I think ultimately, they did come to the right decision, but the way it played out very publicly and like staff asking for evidence and things, it was just weird. It was awkward. Mm-hmm. And all it ended up doing, it felt like they were trying to appease the small vocal group of people that are posting to Reddit and like, GDQ bans everyone for any reason, blah, blah, blah. You know what I mean? It felt like at first they were trying to shut those guys up and appease those guys, but then in turn, you know, pissed off every reasonable human that has a fucking heart. And then they kind of, so they backpedaled and you know what I mean? It felt like they were trying to please everyone when what they really just needed to do was look inside their own conscience and make the right decision in and give it enough thought, you know, give this enough thought in, because the gravity of the situation warranted that. It warranted time and thought and thoroughness.
Yeah.
So one thing I want to mention too, when I talked about Goose's apology here, a lot of these things apparently happened last week, these messages. So we have to, I've never want to insinuate that someone should accept his fucking apology at all. I just want to point out that at least he's saying those things now, you know?
Yeah.
Like, fuck that guy. In the interest of like unbiased journalism, you got to point it out, but like, fuck that guy. You know what I mean? It's a podcast and this, we're not journalists. So
yeah.
I don't know.
We act like we report the news, but it doesn't matter.
We're just three dudes who talk about things.
Yeah.
Whatever we feel like it could be anything.
Give us an example of what it could be, X-Water.
It could be savory things. It could be sweet things. It could be umami things.
Oh.
Yeah. But I think
of all the things, right?
I think of all the things we like covering, we like to stick with salty things.
Mm.
Yeah.
And that, ladies and gentlemen, brings us to this week's salty gaming moment of the week, brought to you by the one, the only, Marianne's Chocolate. They dip their coins in freshly made salt, same day salt. If it's a day old, they get rid of it, throw it out. It's fresh salt. You're going to love it. You're going to order them at coins.warp.world. You're going to use the code WARP when you order them to get $5 off, and you're going to get a 12 pack of these delicious coins. They come with these adorable labels on every individual packed coin. That's 12 separate labels right there. And honestly, you know, the only thing more criminal than not getting a pack of salty coins is Jakku having to drive around this 2019 Beamer.
Oh my God.
So, Marianne's sponsoring the salty moment of the week. We have news as well.
Marianne's Chocolate, better than a 2019 Beamer.
So what is our salty moment of the week? Pooh, I think you should cover this one because I think it affects you more than
either
of us.
I'm super salty about this. I'm really actually super butthurt about this for a multitude of reasons. So Red Dead Redemption's online beta just came out this week. And it's just a beta, so I think it's just limited time. But they're doing it in a tiered system. Some players got in on Monday. Some players got in Tuesday. More players got in Wednesday. A group of players are getting in Thursday. And then finally, the last group of players gets in Friday. And the way you're based on your group is when you played the game. If you pre-ordered it, you got in right away. If you played it launch day, you got in second day. If you, what was it, like 3 days after? Well, you know what, motherfuckers? TwitchCon was happening during Red Dead Redemption launch. So I didn't get to play it Tuesday. And then Mario Masters Coliseum happened the week after. So I didn't get to play it for a whole full week after. So I'm stuck in the last day of beta. Oh. I get like no beta time at all. And when I get in there, everyone's going to be high level and just roping me up and hog tying me. Like I'm screwed.
That's a very opposite of a yeehaw moment right there.
It is.
That is absolutely
yeehaw.
Zero yeet. That is zero yeet.
No,
right
shut
there.
Oh my God. I'm going to get on. I am salty about X-Water's use of yeet as well. But I think there's two things to unpack here. One is, I actually think this is probably a good idea given how Grand Theft Auto Online went, right?
I don't know. I don't know how Grand Theft Auto Online went.
You don't,
I'm wondering
you don't like Rockstar games, do you? So Grand Theft Auto Online, when that launched, was close five, 6 years ago. Yeah, I mean, forever ago now. It was like a month after Grand Theft Auto 5 came out. There was, you know, 20 million Grand Theft Auto things out. Basically, the servers were just like nothing for 2 days. I took work off like when this came out. I was still working a regular job. I was not a full-time gamer at this point. I took work off for 2 days and the servers were not on those entire 2 days because you would log in, you'd play for 2 minutes and then everything would shut out because too many people were logging in. Yeah. So I think this was probably a smart move by them to prevent that from happening. But fuck, I'm salty about it. I'm so butthurt. Like, I just want to get in there and play.
It's an interesting approach. Obviously, you know, I don't have a horse in this game right now. which
really, I appreciated what you did there.
Yeah, yeah. Just making sure I wanted to sell. But on paper, it seems like, cool, these people played first. It makes sense. But life does get in the way. People's copies get delayed. If you ordered it and it took 2 extra days to get to you, now you're being punished for that sort of thing. And yeah, it's hard. Maybe it was, I don't know. I don't know if there's a better way. Maybe it's like, oh, did you beat the first player campaign? You know, first X amount of players beating that, go and get online or getting certain, things. I don't know. I don't know what other way they could do it if they were going to do the tiers or stagger it to make it fair.
That's weird.
Yeah, life gets in the way though, and that's the problem. And now because life got in the way, you gotta wait longer.
Yeah, it is weird because I do think this is probably the right, fine, smart business decision. The best way to handle a game like this, honestly, is just slowly bring players in. I think we see it all the time where you have a big online game on launch day, and right at midnight, everything shits out.
Nobody can log in. It's a big kerfuffle. Yeah,
exactly. And that's horrible press. Everyone's pissed off. People stay up late. They take off work, whatever it is. I think this is probably the smart idea. I'm just fucking salty. Like, they released a game on the day of TwitchCon. Like, come on, man. It was TwitchCon. No one's home. There's 20 million people home.
Playing. Yeah, there's so many people at home playing Red Dead.
Yeah. There's 20,000 people at TwitchCon, 20 million at home playing Red Dead.
That's Rockstar's way of keeping streamers off of the online to start. They knew the streamers were going to be gone. They're like, oh, we got to keep these assholes out of the online for the first week.
That's a good point. A lot of streamers are probably,
Yeah. Yeah. But I mean, overall, it definitely would leave Salts being the one experiencing it and being in that last tier. But it sounds like we're all kind of on a similar page of like, it's a decent enough solution for what they're doing. So does Red Dead get a pass does Rockstar get a pass for not sucking there?
I mean, they don't suck. They just suck to me. I am just personally salty about it. I'm even more salty that I can't get any friends to play Friday because all of you fuckers are busy going to Twitch Chicago. So yeah. I'm gonna get online and I'm gonna have no posse. I'm gonna have to find a random group of people to posse with. You know how scary that is. You never want to. Yeah.
You can't trust them, man. Cowboys?
No, especially in this game. My posse's gonna turn on me. I'm going to get robbed over and over again. I'm going to get hogtied and dragged to different railroad tracks and left on them. It's going to happen. I already know it's going to happen, and I'm salty about it. But that being said, I really cannot wait for Red Dead Redemption Online. It's going to be awesome. Rockstar is pretty decent at the instance-based online games, I will say, just judging by how many people still play Grand Theft Auto Online today.
That's a good point. Yeah. They did make a really successful title.
Yeah. Now, Bethesda?
Ooh, that's a new one.
Bethesda, though, Fallout 76... It's not been going so well, which is weird because I do know one person. Patty, fucking loves the game, but, everybody else I know is not hot on it.
Yeah. I've seen, I think, 2 positive things total said about it.
Yeah. Patty loves it, but Jakku asked for a refund, didn't you?
Yeah. They denied me a refund, but my bank gave me my money back anyways. So take that, Bethesda.
Stealing Smash. Stealing Fallout.
It's silly because on Reddit you can find tons of people getting refunds for PC from Bethesda, and I got the generic we don't give refunds on digital goods. I'm like, oh, okay, cool. So I go this route.
75% sales drop from Fallout 4 to Fallout 76. By the way,
yeah, I'm not surprised.
That's huge.
The game is worse.
That's the
and
main
it's
reason
been
I did.
Years.
Yeah, that's the main reason I did the chargeback is the fact that I can get it for $20.
That's a good point. You could just rebuy the game for $20. It's already $20.
Because it's on super sales now, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Nobody cares. Yeah, they don't want the game.
Yeah, Cyber Monday, when Black Cyber Friday Monday sales were out, cheap. And I'm like, this game's a week old, and it's already like $20 compared to like Red Dead. Like Red Dead wasn't on sale. You couldn't get Red. Yeah. Maybe it was for like $10, but
oh, there was a really good deal. It was only up for like 15 seconds, but Walmart had a PS4, another controller, and Red Dead for $200, which was like a stupid deal. Yeah, that was a stupid deal, but it sold out like instantly.
I could have got 5 horses in the game for that one.
Right?
That's wild.
Doesn't matter. You wouldn't have been able to play online till next month. So
yeah.
the game sucks, but at least everybody who pre-ordered their copy of the collector's edition of Fallout 76 got their nifty helmet and their super cool little bag with it, right? Like,
well,
at least they held that end of the bargain, right, guys?
You're not wrong. You're just an asshole. They did get those things, but it's not what was advertised.
Oh, yes.
They showed an image of the collector's edition with the nice helmet and the satchel, the bag, vinyl bag. Looked really nice. Looked really cool, actually.
Yeah, it does look really. I'm looking at a picture right now. It looks awesome. Yeah,
but what people got instead was a vinyl bag. And
nylon, right?
Nylon, yeah.
Nylon, yeah.
Nylon bag. Terrible. It looks terrible. It looks like something that you get at a convention and someone's trying to hand to you. You're like, why would I throw away your garbage? like, why did you bring that here? So it's completely different from what they showed. When people emailed Bethesda about it, there's been a few different replies from customer service, with one customer service rep claiming, yeah, we know the nylon bag was cheaper than the canvas bag, and we're not going to do anything about it.
Yeah. Due to the unavailability of materials, we had to switch in one of these responses. Due to the unavailability of materials, like, I don't know about that, but that, I don't know.
It mystifies me that you would shortchange the hardest core of your fans like this.
Yeah.
Yeah, these people that are willing to shell out $200 for a collector's edition, you better make sure that collector's edition has everything you fucking promised in it. Yeah. And it looks good, because those are the ones that are going to carry with you. Those are the ones that don't even care if you made a bad game. They're going to buy the next one, you know?
Yep. Not anymore, though.
No.
Was it Red Dead that had the collector's edition that didn't include the game?
A lot of collector's editions have like included digital downloads lately.
Well, no, actually, like it didn't even include that.
Oh, it might have been Assassin's Creed.
Was that? It might have been Assassin's Creed.
It might have been Assassin's Creed. Yeah.
Yeah. It sounds like something Assassin's Creed would do.
Definitely an Ubisoft fucking move.
That's okay. At least they got the game with this, because like I don't care what collector's edition. Like, you can tell only it doesn't include the game, but like if I buy it, I'm still gonna expect it to include the game. Like, who does that? Oh, here's a collector's edition. No game though.
Sonic did that actually as well.
Oh, yeah.
Sonic had a collector's edition without the game.
With Mania, right?
Yeah, Sonic Mania had a collector's edition without the game, which is really weird.
Didn't you get the download code though? Didn't you?
No, not even a download code.
Oh, you were just buying a statue.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah,
silly.
A shirt. Or
I regret
something
not buying that statue. It's a sweet statue.
It's a sweet statue, but like include the game.
Yeah, include the game.
A code or something. But yeah, so Bethesda, like, not only is your game shit, your merchandise is terrible too, and you should feel bad.
It's crazy, man. I was just like dweebing around on Reddit, and like I go on R Gaming every now and then to look at like dumb, you know, video game memes. And I was like, they had one that was like EA with their quote about like when Battlefront came out, you know, when that was all happening, they're like, oh, tactical advantage or whatever. And then they had like Blizzard, and right next to that was, don't you guys have phones? And then they had Bethesda, and it was whatever their response was to all this. And it's like, man, AAA developers are having a really rough year.
Yeah. Everything about Fallout 76 is interesting, because I feel like it's done a lot of damage to the Fallout IP. And I think there was a lot of ways they could have done this game right. I think if they even maybe would have just done like Elder Scrolls Online, but Fallout would have been significantly better than doing this. It's really fascinating how they've just really hurt the Fallout IP, which was dead at one time and was resurrected and now seems like it might be dead again. I don't know. That's so, it's so strange because Fallout 4 was such a hot game just like 3 years ago.
Yeah.
I can't believe it's been like 3 years, maybe two.
It's just so rough because it's like, there was already so much like kind of pushback from Bethesda with Fallout. Like I think you'll say it first, Pooh, with, you know, preferring the old style.
Oh yeah.
And they were doing decent enough. Like New Vegas got a lot of like positive traction from
like
New Die
Vegas.
Hard.
Yeah.
That was like the one that was like for the old school fans, right?
Yeah. Well, the story felt like it was like a story that happened in Fallout 1 or 2. Mm-hmm. They got the characters right. They got, you know, the Brotherhood of Steel right. They acknowledge that nuking things is bad, you know, like stuff like that. Like, yeah, in the 3 and 4 don't do that. And 76 is just like, you know, they're like, hey, nuke everything. Ah.
Yeah, it's an end goal for you to nuke things.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think Fallout 76 could have been really good. We had fun because we played with friends. We've said that before. But we could have done that with any game.
Any game.
Any game. As long as we could connect online and talk to each other in some way, we're finding a way to have fun. Doesn't matter. I feel like everyone online is just like, this game came out too early. It wasn't ready. It was rushed. And there wasn't much thought put into it other than, it's Fallout Online, guys. What else do you want?
And it really is just a mod of Fallout 4.
Yeah. It's really silly that's what we got 3 years after Fallout 4. And they're still working on the next Fallout, you know, main series. I think this is supposed to be kind of like an in-between. But it's making a lot of people feel like they want to go back to Fallout 1 and 2 now, too. Which I know Pooh would be excited for.
Yeah.
I think a lot of people would be excited for it. But would they do it? Are they going to? Who knows? But this current timeline of Fallout seems like they really did kind of ruin it with this.
Yeah. I'm just wondering what Bethesda's next move is like. Because they have other games that they push, you know? Like, what's going to be their saving grace? Because Elder Scrolls...
Skyrim
and Elder
2.
Scrolls. Yeah, I mean, something of that nature. I mean, that's what they're
Skyrim 2.
Due for. They're due for a big single-player, you know, a Elder Scrolls series game. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they have to knock that out of the park. I think it's really hard for them. Their engine is very old now. The engine that they make their games on is just very, very old. I know that Wolfenstein is relatively popular. I know that's on the same engine. But like when you play Fallout 76, you feel like you're playing a game in 2012, which is not a compliment.
Yeah, no. It's very slow. It's janky.
And it's always been janky. Their engine's always been really weird and janky. And... Yeah. The menu system too is just like their menu system's so ugly.
They always are. It's like they release these games that are so bad, and they're only saved by the fact that talented modders come in and make it less bad.
The massive amounts of content is what is Skyrim's appeal. Like that is Skyrim's appeal. Is just like there are so many caves and storylines that you can go in, but there's also like 900 books you pick up for no reason and spoons and bowls and like.
Like,
they need to get rid of all that
shit. There's absolutely no reason in 2018 for someone with an Xbox One or a PS4 or a moderately powerful graphics card to pick up any Bethesda game over The Witcher 3. Like, it controls smoothly. It has a hugely rich story. And it's just good. It's got great DLC. Like, everything about The Witcher 3 is just like Skyrim, but it works better.
I didn't know we were going into the hot take right away, but oh.
Whoa.
No, go ahead.
I was just going to say, like, games where you just pick up a bunch of items now, like Fallout and Skyrim, like, even that's just kind of getting old. Like, I don't, like, it was cool at the time because it's like new and it's like, oh man,
I can pick up anything.
But, like, I don't care anymore.
I got laundry detergent.
Yeah. Oh boy. I'm just going to have to find a way to drop it later. And, I don't know. It's weird. We got to move on with games. We can't be picking up everything.
Yeah. We should move on with segments too, I think.
Okay.
Bethesda sucks, but I think we covered it pretty hard.
Whoa. I mean, I'm not willing to say they suck. I will
they
just
suck
say
today.
That
they have a misstep. They took a big misstep or two.
This was a big miss. And I really wanted to like Fallout 76. I was excited about it. You guys can go back
Yeah.
Listen to our episodes. We both were excited.
Because we were excited about Rust. We're like, man, it's like Fallout.
I wanted it to be Rust. Yes.
I know. Dude, you know what I played the other day?
Rust. Was it good? Was it fun?
It was pretty fun.
Yeah.
They fixed a lot of things.
Did they? I bet it's really awesome now. I haven't played it in so long. Like, I barely even played new Rust. I played mostly just like old Rust before they remade it. Oh, man. X-Water has no idea what we're talking about.
I've never played Rust. I think the only survival game I really played anything of was a little bit of Ark, which I didn't like that much. And the forest.
Yeah, I'll tell you this. You shower with your brother, so you're going to love Rust.
Oh, okay.
So when you log into Rust, X-Water, you're completely naked right away. And you're a random race and sex and size. So you can't choose anything about your character. You're born. And that's what you are. And that's pretty cool. Isn't it though? I kind of love it.
It's based on your Steam ID. It's changed a few times. Right now,
your dick size is a female. Size. Yeah.
I'm a white female right now. But like earlier in the year, I was not. But they change it when they change like the engine stuff around every now and then. But it's a really unique game. It's a fun experience, especially with friends.
It's an experience. Yeah. You literally need friends in Rust. Like you can't, there's no way to survive on your own because your structure, so you have to build a base. You know, it's like any survival game. You need food, you gotta get wood, you gotta build a base, so you have some place to sleep and store your loot, because it's all you're trying to do is get loot, basically. But because there's nothing else to do in the game besides knock other people's houses down. It's like everybody's trying to do it all the time. You need a crew. Like you almost like need, it was kind of funny when I was really into it, we had like shifts. Like we kind of like had to be on to protect your house.
I worked from home. So I was on like all the time, just watching at least. Yeah. And like if things started going down, if I started hearing explosions outside our base, I'd text people, be like, get on now. And we would all of a sudden 8 people log on and we have to defend our base. And you would start to record the other players' online time and be like, all right, they get off at 8 p.m. each night. So I'm going to go raid their base then.
Oh my God. You guys got deep.
I lost 6 months in that game for sure, where I just did nothing but Rust.
Yeah. I mean, that's how you have to play it. Like it's that intense and it's time consuming too. And like, man, eventually you just start building these really big structures and you're feeling really powerful. But it doesn't matter how big your structure is. Someone's going to figure out how to fucking break into it and destroy it all. And like, there's no, like the worst feeling in any video games I think you'll ever have is when you go to sleep, like with a dope Rust structure and you're stacked and you have tons of armor and everything. And you wake up and you're butt fucking naked at a spawn point.
Yep.
Oh,
wake up on the
sound. It sounds real tragic, guys. I'm sorry you had to go through that.
You just quit.
It's so fun.
You quit. Yeah. That's the problem with those games. You quit.
Yeah.
You can't build back up after that.
No, man. There's no doing it. Your work's gone.
You know what?
I do miss the phase of like life where you had enough time to do shift-based gaming. Like, all right, guys, everybody wake up at least noon. We're going to game 8 hours, take an hour break, and get back into it, you know?
Yeah.
Those are the good old days.
Yeah. It was fun. To have that time again. But it's the interesting thing about Rust and survival games like that is that there's no way to really help your character outside the game. It's all in-game stuff. There's no loot boxes or anything like that.
Yeah. Well, that's good, honestly.
What?
Yeah, that's good. Because loot boxes have been around a lot lately.
Yeah, and it also brings us to this week's hot take.
Hot take. Hot take.
Yes. Yeah, so speaking of loot boxes and the disdain for them, the FTC is actually looking into the legality of loot boxes. Specifically, does it constitute as gambling? So, hot take. Is buying loot boxes a form of gambling?
And is it okay?
Yeah, I guess. Okay. I guess you're right. Two-part question.
Yeah.
I would say yeah. As much as opening a pack of Magic cards or Pokemon cards is a form of gambling, you know, you're paying a fixed price for something with an RNG output, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe you profit, maybe you don't.
I don't know what kind of regulations they have for Magic cards and stuff like that, like at the factory.
I'm curious about that.
Yeah, checking to see like, does this have what it should have? Like, do they have the odds somewhere on their website? Who's following those? Are they actually maintaining those? Same thing with these loot boxes. You know, it's a 1 in 2,000 chance of getting a knife in CSGO, you know, something like that.
Yeah.
I think my big problem with it is that it's not transparent enough to know what those odds are and if they're actually enforcing those. I think there needs to be some third party that is regulating these and is in control of that, that dictates the odds of those. Some governing body, not the government necessarily, but some governing body that can ensure that those are the correct rates and that these companies aren't bamboozling us. Because I think there's nothing inherently wrong with loot boxes if that's your thing. I'm not going to say, you know, I think it is a form of gambling in some capacity. I think if you want to spend money and throw your money at that sort of thing, by all means do it. It's not my cup of tea, but if you want to, why not?
That's fair. Now, a big thing, at least a big address, like an addressment point in the article is the fact that loot boxes, not, you know, it's a small form of gambling, but the fact that they target children more than other forms of gambling is like the...
Any other form of gambling?
I mean, yeah, it's the same thing with magic cards. Kids buy magic cards. They're games. So it's not necessarily geared towards kids. It's just that kids love games. It's what kids
do. That's true.
I do think, though, magic cards... I don't know why it feels different, but it just does feel different to me.
Because it's been something forever. Like baseball cards, all that stuff, it's been something that's always been there.
And it's a lot easier to purchase something that has... like that is a physical item.
Yeah.
Because at the end of the day, no matter what, like you didn't pay for just data, you paid for 15 physical cards.
Yeah. And I think the big thing is when you buy that pack of cards, there's the cards don't change once you open them.
Mm-hmm.
They were in there or they weren't. 50-50 shot for sure. had to throw that in there. But like those cards were definitely there when you bought them or they weren't. And like with a loot box, you could be getting, you know, that skin that you thought, but like the server's just like, yeah, never mind. And that's where it gets a little shady.
Yeah.
Because a computer controls it more.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It can easily be shifted by just a calculation going like, nope, sorry.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know what's funny is I'm sitting here trying to find rules about trading cards and the laws of things like that. And I'm not finding any because I feel like, you know, Magic the Gathering, like, because that's a really good example. And sports cards, obviously. Like, I feel like there has to be some sort of odds anywhere. But I guess with Magic, you know, like with Magic the Gathering, you're getting 11 commons, you know, 4 uncommons and 1 rare.
Yeah.
So maybe... because of that. And it's the same thing with sports cards too. Like usually you get like 1 all-star or something. I don't know. You know what I mean? Like you get the shittiest
all-star.
Yeah,
you always have like a guaranteed set of things you can get. And then you have like the chance of those like being foil or being a step up in rarity or something like that.
Yeah. Yeah. And like even the Magic, you get 1 foil per pack right now. Or that's
you sometimes get a foil. It's like a random thing.
Is it per box then? I think there was something like per box.
Yeah, the odds are calculated per box. Like it's because I play a lot of Magic and I used to buy boxes every now and then. Like I think it's like you're guaranteed an average of like 7 to 8 mythic rares a box, and then 1 rare per pack if it isn't a mythic rare, and then each pack has like a 1 in 7 or 1 in 10 chance of having a foil, and the foil is just 1 out of any of the cards in the set randomly, but obviously there are more commons than uncommons than there are than rares. And so most likely when you get a foil card, it's going to be like something shitty.
So are we just saying that kids need to buy more loot boxes in a pack so that they have those odds? Is that what it is?
Honestly, it does bring up a question because that's how Dota does their loot boxes. Like you get like loot boxes that give you like a set of items, like any one of the group. But if you open another pack, you're guaranteed not to get the same item.
And that's definitely where the digital stuff comes in play and is a little better. If you can guarantee that you're not going to get the items you already have, that's really useful. Because if you go and buy a bunch of Magic cards, you're going to get a lot of duplicate cards in certain cases. You're going to get all those land cards. Fuck those things. I don't need those. That's all I know about Magic.
Yo, foil lands are the shit, dude.
Not in the Black Lotus I have over here. But
yeah, right.
That card's garbage. Throw it out.
Yeah. All right. What was the card that was two cards, the original? Whatever. I digress. I think
you want the Power 9, Jakku. That's what you want. You want the Power 9.
Power 9.
Gotcha. Did you know there's a Warp World Magic card?
Yes.
We should
I've actually
those.
Used that card in a deck before.
We should get those. Anyways, I think Digital does have an advantage there where like it could guarantee that you don't get those same common cards, whatever, that you don't want, which would be useful. But then at the same time, you know, I just think posting the odds would make a lot more sense. And I feel like in Europe, this is a thing. I think they have to post them in Europe or something.
Yeah, there are stronger restrictions with what you can and can't do with loot boxes in Europe.
Yeah. I think Japan, actually, you have to post the odds as well. Or maybe it's Korea now because their whole economy runs on free-to-play video games.
Yeah. Activision started publishing the odds, I guess.
Okay. Good on them, then.
Or in Europe, maybe.
That's nice.
Yeah. So, yeah.
Maybe.
This article's going way too long, and I can't find the Google search I did.
It is strange, and it's very interesting because, again, we talk a lot about it. A lot of this stuff's still the Wild West. A lot of what we're figuring out here in gaming and content creation is the Wild West, and rules and regulations aren't in place yet, and people are going to exploit those for profit until they do get in place. It's very weird to me because I never really compared it to Magic cards, but when you said that, I was like, fuck that. Is kind of like that because I was ready to come in here like loot boxes are bad, we shouldn't have them, blah blah blah, like kids are using them to really gamble like CSGO skins, you know what I mean? Like that's a whole nother layer of like weird activity. You get into them trading them, but at the same time I traded Magic cards when I was a kid. I did Magic where I put up a card. I played Magic games for cash. Those are all different forms of gambling that I did as a kid that was relatively harmless, I want to say.
Yeah, I think I would agree.
I think it's relatively harmless, but it for some reason it feels a lot. That feels a lot different than when a kid bets $150 CSGO skin on whether Cloud9 is going to win the next game. that feels different to me. I understand it might not be different, but it's kind of like you know, when you define porn, you don't really define porn. You just know it when you see it. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. You know, like I feel like this feels different. I know it when I see it. And I feel like that part of this is wrong. You know, if loot boxes aren't gambling, they're definitely gambling's like cousin.
Let's just agree for now that they are gambling. Is it that big of a deal if people want to spend their money on it? If people buy lottery tickets all the time, you have to be 18 to do so, but.
I think that's the thing. I think that's the major thing is that, you know, you get little Jimmy a gift card and he spends it all gambling on Overwatch loot boxes.
I think there's like got to be something in the TOS's like, I agree that I'm old enough to buy loot boxes or maybe there isn't. I don't know, but it could.
It might be 13 years old right now, though, because there are no laws, you know.
It's the Wild West. Said it once. Say it again. I know. I personally enjoyed like hustling TF2 loot when I was a teenager. You know, like getting the rare hats. I logged in, got the earbuds, and those sold for like 12 keys. And I'd like try and trick people into getting their earbuds for like 4 keys. And then I'd flip keys. And it's like, sick. I made $12 today. And it's not a lot of money. But as a teenager, you're like, yeah.
Well, you just really put the... put it out there why loot boxing and shit should be illegal. Right there.
I didn't really help my side of the argument. I want kids to have that same experience.
I want kids to learn how to hustle other fucking kids right there.
Hustling is an important skill and everyone should know it to a degree.
Sure. Swindling maybe is the word.
Swindling, hustling, yeah.
All right, so Jakku?
Yeah.
What do they say?
So
about...
So Wikipedia mentions that, you know, mentions the whole Magic the Gathering argument that we just had, essentially, on the loot box entry. A lot of people, though, like to say, and it's been found that, you know, collectible card games are not held liable because they don't think it's a form of gambling. So, like, they're definitely being compared. One of the reasons why they say that loot boxes are a little bit more like gambling is because of the sensory experience you get when trying to open those and getting that feedback. It's like a slot machine. And obviously, casinos have slot machines because that is, like, the number one way to get you to start gambling. And that sensory experience you get from it is fun. You know, everyone likes to gamble.
Okay.
I guess we could also argue that the thrill of looking at that last card in the pack and the color of the rarity symbol is also somewhat of a...
When you flip that card over, you don't get fucking fireworks and everything.
That's fair. And it's up to you to flip it over. I think that's the big thing is, like, this is something on a screen or it's happening in front of you.
I have no control over it. Yeah, that makes sense.
I could throw that card away and it could be whatever it was and I'd be like, I don't care.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So yeah, it's really interesting that we're basic Wikipedia guys. So
yeah.
So
news, hot news reporting.
I know Wikipedia is always asking for money. So just send it to us at our Patreon instead, and we will look up Wikipedia things for you.
Yeah, email in what Wikipedia info you want, and we'll take care of it. But only if you pay us.
Only if you're a Patreon member. That's a new perk. Get on it, Moni.
Okay. Well, we should take a little sidebar into our side. Questions for the week.
Let's do it. I've got two.
All right.
These are some good real names. Upper 90 asks, aside from speedrunning records, what are you most proud of accomplishing in a game, both now and when you were younger? It could be any percent, 100%, unlocking cheats, discovering a glitch, etc. And as a kid, unlocking the cheats in GoldenEye, insert shameless warp world historians plug here, was grueling, but very rewarding.
Yeah, I like that plug. Hey, we're releasing the Grand Theft Auto episode. It's already out by the time this is out, but check it out. It's cool.
Nice. Yeah. So yeah, let's start with kid. As a kid, what was the biggest accomplishment that you had in video game?
Fifth place, WCG Warcraft 3 qualifiers in London, Ontario.
Okay, this is funny because mine is also not fifth place, but I got second place in Walt Disney World Pleasure Island Star Fox tournament. And it was also the last day they were running that tournament and they gave me the Star Fox tournament cart. Which brings me to my worst gaming moment that I ever did, which was selling that Star Fox cart for like $30 in college beer money.
Oh,
big regret.
Yeah.
Big regret.
That hurts just hearing, man. I'm sorry.
I mean, I'm just going to go with the one in the email. Unlocking all the cheats in GoldenEye was amazing. Super rewarding. And, like, you know, getting the invincibility or invincibility. I think invincibility. Level 2 facility was pretty tough. There were some tough ones there. But overall, it was really rewarding. So going on to when you're older now, what's one of your best gaming moments or proudest accomplishments?
It's hard to not use a speedrunning one.
Yeah. Go for it.
He said you can't use speedrunning ones.
Oh, did he say we can't?
Yeah.
Man, speedrun world record.
Oh, well, yeah. All right.
It's tough. Off the top of my head, I beat Undyne on the second try in my genocide run in Undertale, and that felt pretty impressive.
That was pretty impressive.
You know what? I
got a few, actually.
No, it says one.
Oh, too bad. Too bad. You're going to have to listen to two or three. When I cheesed U-Break an hour after it came out, so U-Break, when it first happened, it was like a month long of Penga making it and then trying to upload it. And it finished with a mid-air shell jump, which to that point we had never seen in a level before or anything. And I cheesed it within an hour where I got rid of the midair shell jump and added a simple P-switch jump, which was, at the time, very easy to do. So, I'm really proud of that because lots of people actually use that cheese to beat the level, including a lot of really good players. So I'm very proud of that. And beyond that, I cheesed lots of Penga's levels. That was actually kind of my, like, MO when I first started coming up. And so thanks for that, man. But I'm going to say beating Mario 3 with the Power Glove.
It's a good
because,
one.
Yeah, is to my knowledge, nobody had ever done it before, and nobody's done it since. And it's, I don't blame them because I don't ever want to do it again. But it's something I'm really, really proud to have done, given the kind of history of the Power Glove and Mario 3 together. So
yeah, that was good. Okay, since you did two, and since you mentioned Panga, I'm gonna. I didn't even think of this one, but until you said it. But
I was gonna say.
I'm gonna go with P Break. Beating P Break, first one to do that. That was a huge
in the world.
In the world, other than Panga, it was interesting because we've talked about this a few times, but like I didn't know you guys. I didn't know you guys were going for that sort of thing. All I knew, there was a Taku article about it. Friends were bugging me about it. My own friends were like, "You should beat it." I'm like, "Yeah, okay, I'll try it." And like I never had the intention of being the first. I was just like, "Oh, I did it," and then I was the first, and I'm like, "Oh shit!" And then the rest is history. Yeah. It was insane. I was going to go with Yonoid though, not world record, which is a year old, a little over a year old now. So good job on that. But the Jakku Jet glitch, I think the fact that I found a glitch in like a 30-year-old game was really fun, exciting.
Yeah.
You know, and it was there for the taking.
And a speed run that it was actually ran by a lot of great speedrunners too, you know?
Yeah, that's true.
Did Andrew G run Yonoid?
He did.
Yeah. Andrew G found a wrong warp in Glitch Cat's Return to Subcon day one.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So this is not a guy who was not looking for strats, you know?
Right.
So, mm-hmm. Yeah. That actually like changed that entire speedrun, dude.
It did. Yeah.
That's really cool. Like, you know what's funny is I've been trying for years just to get one strat in one level in SMB3, and I never have. And so it's really cool that you have like a full the Jakku Jet. It's named after you. It's so fucking cool.
It's so silly, but it's so much fun.
I was the first one to do a spring jump in Mario Maker, but I didn't name it anything, and I really fucking should have now.
The poo jump.
What would you have named?
I don't know. I'll never get credit for it though, because it was like, you know, it was like first week of Mario Maker, but
I mean, spring jump
doesn't matter.
Yeah, spring jump just works.
Yeah, spring jump, it's too common, you know? Like, the poo plop, like, it wouldn't matter. Like, that sounds horrible.
Poo plop. That's a good one.
That's great. All right, this next one, Tristan, I think this is a viewer of yours, X-Water. Okay. I've listened to every episode of the Warp World podcast and had a question.
Good.
For
one of the millions.
Yeah. Would you support a streaming service or video hosting service or both that require users to pay $5 to $10 a month, but has no ads? I ask because the comment section of YouTube is a dumpster fire, and even Twitch chat requires multiple mods on successful streamers. So, Twitch or YouTube, doesn't matter. Paywalled, $5 to $10 a month for any user, uploader or commenter. Would you pay? And would it... I'm going to go one other step. Would it be successful?
No, I wouldn't.
All right, that's it for viewer questions.
Why it wouldn't be successful is it's impossible to discover anyone.
Mm-hmm.
You would have to pay $5. You can't test drive a streamer.
Yeah.
You know, like, and how long do you, I mean, it takes, sometimes I'll watch a streamer for weeks, months before I am like, you know what, it's time for me to make this commitment and drop a sub.
Before you say sub girl for the first time.
Yeah, exactly. Absolutely. Yeah. I think you're right. Like, you need to test the waters a little bit. For something like YouTube, being able to comment, maybe you can watch the stuff, but you can't comment. But like, commenting on YouTube is not really a thing that anyone cares to do. Like, certainly people do it, but like at the end of the day, it's not like as good as Twitch chat to be able to talk on Twitch chat, right? No one's like, "Oh, I can't wait to go to talk to people on these YouTube comments with me." But people might be like, "Oh, I can't wait to go talk to my friends on Twitch."
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. YouTube comment. I had a friend who would go on YouTube comments specifically to get into YouTube comment arguments.
Nice.
It's a very hostile place.
Yeah. Yeah.
Filled with a lot of real low IQ type conversation.
Okay. Let me ask you this. Since this doesn't seem to work, would you stream on a service that costs $5 a month for you to stream? And it's just $5 to stream, but you can make money on it too, like subs. But for some reason, there's just a $5 commitment to streaming.
I mean, if Twitch started charging $5, I wouldn't fucking stop.
Yeah, you wouldn't stop.
Yeah.
Honestly, I wouldn't have a problem with Twitch charging $5 now to stream right. on the service. There's
That's what
nine.
I mean.
The
it's
amount
expensive.
Of throughput I put into that website, I feel like $5 does not cover the bills of what I'm putting into that.
You know what it stops,
We're
though?
All partners, so it'd probably be free yeah. for us anyway.
Yeah.
yeah, but like, so I think at the end of the day, like, Twitch has a problem with, you know, unauthorized streams of pay-per-view channels and stuff like that being put up and streamed on their service. $5 to $10 paywall would stop that. I feel like people would be like, "I'm not going to pay for this and then pay to stream this for people." So it could solve some problems.
I feel like there are people out there who would still do it.
There's still some people, kind of sure, but I think it would reduce that number.
It would. You're right. It would.
Yeah, I don't know. It's an interesting idea.
I just feel like gating the people who can watch and interact with my content. Like, I want as many people coming into my stream as possible. I feel like it's a numbers game, and having you know, my mods or myself being able to click the ban hammer on mm-hmm. people every like once in a while is a small price to pay for a bigger audience and better exposure.
All right. I'm going to add on to this question one more time.
Okay.
There's already sub-only VODs. Sub-only streams. Yay or nay?
Oh.
On Twitch.
I thought at first yeah. sub-only streams, I was thinking sub-only chat.
Yeah, no, like not sub-only chat. Like, only subs can now watch your stream. And it's, you can turn it on and off. But like, if you, and maybe you can make them available for anyone after the fact. But would you use a sub-only stream ever?
I would, yeah. I mean, honestly, I could, like, if it's like only available for people to sub, I actually think that is something I probably would, like, anytime I would stream on a Sunday, I'd just be like, yeah, it's sub Sunday, literally yeah. only for subs. And I would enjoy a nice, small, chill stream. I wouldn't have a problem with that. Although, you know what? I probably wouldn't use it just because I've said out loud I'll never charge for my content ever. So I can't use it at this point. So I can't use it, but I would see the appeal of that. Totally. 100%.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that could definitely be kind of neat. It's interesting that they haven't done it yet, but I think it's partially because of what you said. You know, people want to test drive things, but they've been starting to kind of add those features, sub-only chat, follow-only chat. Like, they're not paywalling you, but they're putting these restrictions in place that are easy to jump over, but they haven't made that full commitment to being like, nah, you know, you got to pay $5 to watch this guy.
Yeah.
All right.
I wonder how much money it costs Twitch to host a streamer who, you know, like, he's averaging three viewers, him, his sister, and his mom. Mm-hmm. Like, how much does it cost for that guy to stream 5 hours a day, 5 days a week, 25 hours? I'm very curious of what the cost per user is to do that, because it obviously costs them money to run servers and yeah. and bandwidth. It's a lot of bandwidth. Like, isn't Twitch the third biggest user of internet traffic and all yeah. the internet? It's like Netflix is one, Google's two, and then isn't it Twitch three, which is crazy because it's not a most visited site, you know?
Right. Yeah, I could definitely see that.
Yeah.
Yeah, it definitely gets expensive. I mean, that server alone would cost you $5 a month to be able to run 24/7 to support like 20 people probably. So like you're $5 or so, not too much in the grand scheme of things. But when you have 50,000 users and 30,000 of them are like that, then it's not $5 a month anymore. It's a bit more. And yeah, so yeah, it definitely adds up. Like, single person, pennies, but with the amount of numbers that we have, hundreds of thousands of dollars.
Yeah.
Okay. It's not, but it's obviously worth their investment though.
Yeah. Yeah. It's still worth their investment for sure. But yeah. That's it, guys, for side questions. And that's this episode.
Gasp.
But you know, there's more Warp World Network goodies that you can listen to throughout the week.
What do we got on the network, Jaku?
Well, we got
We
got the Frame Savers on Wednesdays.
Bam.
That's hosted by John Carls and Author Blues.
Author Blues?
Yeah. We got Warp World Historians. That's
Bam.
Ran by the one and only Grand Keys and X-Water. Whoever that guy
is. That guy showers with his brother.
Oh, man. And then Fridays, we got I Got One with Johnny Christmas and some Jakku guy. Jakku?
You guys are making... I gotta admit, You guys are making me feel like really bad about having two podcasts, and I only put in the work for one podcast.
Hey, listen,
a week.
We got an extra day of the week, baby. Take some initiative.
Tuesday poo
you
day.
Know, that's just me ranting about shit. You know, like just a solo. It's like those sports talk radio hosts that are on radio for like 5 hours and are just like talking about anything that comes on their mind. No,
that's pretty much every Twitch stream.
Yeah,
exactly.
I forgot to mention we got accepted for a panel at GDQ.
Oh yeah,
yeah. So Warp World crew of X-Water, Jakku, Author Blues, and Skybills will be there for a panel on crowd control.
Yeah. Exciting stuff, man. I'm stoked.
Yeah.
I think this is my first time being on a panel.
Yeah. I mean, it's the second time they've done panels. So far you've been on half the amount of panels they've been able to do.
Oh, like any panel too. Oh, okay. Like not just,
Nice. Well, there you go, dude. Nice.
It's a big year, man. Big finish to a big year. Well, I guess it's at the start of next year, but
we're having a year in review. Save it for the year in review.
All right. Sorry. Yeah. I'll keep it.
And the warpies.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
We got to figure out the details of the warpies.
Yes. We got to get, by the way, which brings us, make sure you email us at podcast@warp.world. Not just your side questions, but email us some nominations in completely made up categories for the warpies. If we like it, we'll just go ahead and throw them in. The most prestigious video game related slash real life related award show that's done on a podcast sometime around the end of or beginning of New Year.
That sounds pretty good. And as always, thanks to all the Patreon members out there helping us support our editors and all those costs. You guys have been great. And I think that's it.
Yeah. All right. I'm gonna upload this. I'm gonna upload this file in fiber speeds, guys.
That's my salty moment.
Salty moment is that your internet went from the shittiest to the best of all of us.
Dude,
man.
I uploaded a 4 gigabyte YouTube video in under a minute.
Whoa.
I went to the bathroom and I came back and it was done.
That's awesome.
It was like rendering. It was already in 720p quality. Like,
dude,
just like that.
It uploads faster than I can render videos.
That's awesome.
Yeah, I'm geeking out hard over
Congrats
it.
Congrats to the good internet.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, I'm going to go cry myself to sleep now. Good night, everybody.
Bye, everyone.
Bye.